The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV. The OTB Brief. Everything you need to know about sport every morning. Need to get on top of the day's sports news? Well, the OTB Brief is the only sports update you'll need every morning. With all the breaking stories, post-match reaction.
They had one more day to rest. We were really in trouble. Really in trouble to build the team.
And the best bits from off the ball, all in a 10-minute podcast.
Oh, sweaty palms. Of course, you guys know what it's like, but that was nervy.
The OTB Brief, online every morning from 7 a.m. on offtheball.com, the Go Loud app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
But fans can be the harshest critics, you know.
And they often are.
A wife is often the harshest critic of her husband.
I thought I was invincible. That's what you're trained to believe as a sports person.
There was 4 million people in Ireland who knew much more about managing football teams than I did. When it comes to music, I can spoof at the best.
Your sporting career is the best time you'll have. And, you know, you have to hang on to it for as long as your life, because everything else is pretty crappy.
And this is not light. Stephen Rothschild has never spoken to Jimmy McGuinness in his life.
Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through till 5 o'clock. You can text us on 53106. Just some breaking news. Maurizio Sarri sacked by Juventus after that Champions League exit at the hands of Lyon last night. A text in here. Lad, Sarri getting sacked is madness. The players just didn't get a style of play, and a big part of why is Ronaldo. His stats are crazy, but at this stage of his career, he can't do what Sarri needs in terms of pressing. He doesn't want to play the way Sarri needs, and he seemed to just do what he wanted. I wonder, is Antonio Conte going to end up at Juventus? And mad stuff, the managerial merry-go-round. So we're streaming live now as well, as you can listen to us in News Talk. We're streaming as well on the Off The Ball social channels. For Periscope, on Twitter, at Off The Ball, on YouTube and on Facebook. We're also streaming on the new OTB Sports app. So search OTB Sports in your app store now to download it. I think one thing we're really missing at the moment is a Championship Sunday. It really is a shame that we don't have any inter-county matches on the weekend. Obviously, public health is the most important thing. We've got our own unique stamp on Gaelic games here at Off The Ball here on News Talk. Tommy Walsh, Kieran Donaghy, Maura Trasini-Kelly calling it every Sunday. But we're also mature enough to recognise the contribution of those voices that crackle over the airwaves throughout the country on local radio. So tell some tales to discuss what life is like in clubs right now. We're joined by Oisin Kelly, who calls it in Donegal for Highland Radio. Liam Spratt, who's been commentating on Wexford GA for South East Radio for 30 years. And Willie Quinlan, who used to play for the Carlow Senior Footballers, was also in an All-Ireland club final with Éire Óg. And Willie now knows, obviously, all things Carlow for KCLR. Lads, hope we're all well. Willie, we're just going to start with you. When we see matches in Laois, in Offaly, in Kildare this weekend, off due to coronavirus outbreak, Carlow so close as well, there's got to be a worry over club games in your area and perhaps even the staging of the Inter-County Championship. So, Willie, what is the lie of the land like in Carlow at the moment of the club scene?
Yeah, it's hugely worrying, I suppose. Greg travelled to Port Laois last night and they were warming up and the game was called off, I suppose, 20 minutes before the whistle blew, so they were very, very upset coming away from it, I suppose, after putting in so much work and getting lads back in the field. And locally here, it's much the same. It's everybody is so unsure of what's going to happen and not going to happen. And we had our own case in locally here. O'Loughlin had a case of COVID, and they played two practice matches, which brought two other clubs into it, and the chap that was involved in it also played hurling, and he was involved in some coaching. So it's a big worry, I suppose, you know, not just locally, but the whole country, so uncertain what's going to happen at the moment. It looks like, you know, most championships mightn't even go ahead. If you look at Timahoe are gone into isolation, they're in Laois. O'Loughlin, as I say, they had to go into isolation. Collection are the same, just on the borders in Laois as well. So if it keeps going the way it's going, I can't see our championships or any other championships in the country being played, John.
Yeah, there's got to be a worry as well, Willie, that like without gate receipts for clubs, the ability to fundraise, you know, big GA fundraisers, say, to race day, no increase in the limit of 200. And all these are legitimate reasons for public health, right? Is it affordable? Is it worth the while almost of the county boards and the clubs to get this going, you know?
It's probably not really. And going back to our own club, we played a practice match there possibly 2 weeks ago against Ballymun. Now, normally there'd probably be 700 or 800 at these matches. We ended up obviously with probably 120, and then you have your players, mentors, referees, and whatever. So that brings it up to 200. It's probably not feasible, you know, going to games. You're going to Dr. Cullen Park, maybe a championship game, and there's probably 120 going to be at it. I mean, I think listened to Michael Deignan there last weekend, and he said it should be judged on the size of the grounds. If the grounds are able to hold maybe 20 or 30,000, surely you can get 1,000 into it. But health and safety is health and safety, and the players' welfare is more important, I suppose, than money. It's a difficult time for GAA, and for, I suppose, not only GAA, but, you know, pubs being closed back down, restaurants being closed in the likes of Laois and Kildare and Offaly. And everybody's just taking a hit at the moment, and it's just so uncertain, John. We're not really sure about the GAA. It was great to get back down because, yeah, or to get back playing, get back in the field and see the young lads training. But if it's, you know, if somebody gets really sick and they bring it home and maybe give it to somebody with an underlying condition and something worse happens, I mean, the GAA could have a lot to answer for then after that.
Yeah, and I think, would you praise the way they've been handling this over the last few months? I think they've done a good job. They've erred on the side of caution, and actually, when you look at it now, that's probably the right thing to do.
I think so far they were very, very good. I mean, I go to matches all over the place, and was at 3 matches this week, and every club is the same in Carlow. You're only allowed 200, and the 200 is including, as I say, both teams, mentors, whatever. So you're probably getting maybe 100, 120 at games. And GAA have been very good, you know, up to now. And hopefully we can remain and keep the same. And even you know, our lads training, everybody, you're washing your hands on the way in. There's no dressing rooms being open. You're bringing your gear. You're into the grounds. You're gone straight away after an hour and a half. So, you know, locally, the clubs locally are definitely, you know, in Carlow are doing their utmost best, you know, to do the right thing, and they seem to be doing it at the moment.
You've seen players opting out just because, you know what, I don't think this is the right thing to do.
I've seen one of our county players, probably one of our best players, Paul Broderick, at the moment, who lost his spleen there a couple of years ago through a football incident. And he just couldn't afford to play because if he got the COVID, he just wouldn't be able to fight it. So he's definitely said he's not going to play a club or county this year, and really you can't blame him.
We're going to get into touch with Liam Spratt and Oisin Kelly just in a moment, but Willie, we'll just continue with you here. How did you kind of progress from being a long-time player with the Carlow Senior Footballers, you're playing in All-Ireland Finals for Arrow, to being the man behind the mic in KCLR? How did that kind of work out for you? Were you approached? Were you interested? How did it get off the ground?
Yeah, it was actually just approached by a local guy here, Brendan Hennessy, who I would know for a long, long time. And he just said to me, would I be interested? He said, listen, you're at most of the matches, so you know the game inside out. You just look at the games and, you know, say what you see. Now, sometimes I can be a little bit too honest, and so some people don't like that, I suppose, in you know, commentators or one thing or another. But I actually, after about 3 or 4 games, I really took to it, really enjoyed it, love every minute of it, and really missed it while it was away. I mean, we're in the middle of it. I think the last time I'd seen Liam Spratt was back in February when Wexford beat Carlow, actually, in Wexford in the National League. And since then, you just haven't seen anybody. There's been no games, nothing on the radio. They're getting back locally. All the games are being covered. So I'm hoping when the football comes back in a couple of weeks that I'll get the show to do the local radio for our local GAA here as well.
Do you think, though, that's a good point of difference to have? For me, when I think about the Uisce Fogartys, the great late Uisce Fogarty of Kerry, you know, Willie Hegarty out in Shannonside, these kind of brilliant local legends, that really are the authority in the area for Gaelic games, just as much as Micheál and Mura Hirsig would have been nationally for so many years. I think you do have to be, in a way, a little bit distinguishable from, say, the Micheál and Mura Hirsigs. And you know what? Calling for your county or for your club or whatever, there's no bad thing in that.
No, it's absolutely brilliant. And you get a certain amount of respect, I suppose, after playing, as you said yourself, in All-Ireland Club Final and playing with the county for a number of years. And people tend to listen. And, you know, most of the comments come back is, you know, are very good. You will get an odd one, I suppose, from different clubs that'll say, oh, he's very hard on such a one, or very hard on this one. But I think locally, when you have a local guy or a couple of local guys, people do listen, and it's amazing, you know, when you're out about, or, you know, around the town. I heard a match the other night, it was very good, I couldn't get to it, and it's really, in this time, I suppose, it's really going to help people. If only 200 can get to games, people are going to tune into local radio and listen to their matches being that kind. I've just spoken to a guy, Joe Walsh is his name, his son plays for Tullerone, fullback. He was actually man of the match there last Friday week, and he said he got a ticket for last Friday week, but he's out of hat now, so he doesn't get another ticket until maybe a couple of weeks' time down the line, whether they get the semi-finals or finals. So for him, he's going to have to tune in to local, you know, KCLR, whoever is covering the match, and listen to it. So for the benefit of those guys, I think it's really, really good to have local radio and local guys being involved in it as well.
Do you think streaming then can possibly work on a long-term basis? We see Tipperary GA streaming at the moment. The League of Ireland stream seems to be in a pleasant surprise for a lot of people in soccer. I think there could be something in that for club GA.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely could be the way forward. When you have guys that can go to a game, they don't need much equipment to live stream, I suppose, and people are able to pick it up and they're able to see their club games. If you see Facebook now, I watched the end of a game there. I think it was St. Joseph's against Ballyrone. Ballyrone got a last-minute goal to beat St. Joseph in the championship, and it was live streamed. And it's fantastic. You don't have to go to the games. You can, you know, sit in your own kitchen or your backyard or wherever and watch these games. I think it's fantastic. It is the way forward, definitely, John.
When you were involved in Éire Óg, Willie, in the 90s, would you have noticed the local radio station? I don't know if it was KCLR back then, but would they have followed the path of, to be fair, like with Bolton Glass winning with Wicklow in 1990, there is a better chance sometimes from a club from a so-called weaker county to progress through the All-Ireland Series?
Yeah, definitely. If you look at the likes of the Carlows, the Wicklows now, we're miles and miles off winning any All-Irelands, or the way Dublin are going, even a Leinster, or getting to a Leinster final. If you got a lucky draw, you might get to a Leinster final, but Dublin are the kingpins of football, not just in Leinster, but in the country for the last five, maybe 6 or 7 years. So it is back to the club scene. And definitely, you know, when we were coming out, we got to five Leinsters and won five Leinsters. It just took off, really, the whole local thing took off. I mean, KCLR at that time followed, as they do, any club that does well. Mount Leinster Rangers got to an intermediate final as well, won the intermediate, got to the senior final and were beaten on the day. But the local stuff really gets behind it. And as well as that, everybody starts taking notice and stand up and looking at the players, and everybody knows you in the town. You know, there's not one club or county, I suppose, that wouldn't support you and wouldn't follow you when you do get far. So for that point of view, it is fantastic to be a club player and get to a Leinster, win a couple of Leinsters, and even push on and play in an All-Ireland final. It has to be fantastic.
Did it change the town? Did it change the vibe of the town? We're talking like all the moment about Italian 90 and all that kind of thing for the nation, but even for a town like Carlow, because I believe Éire Óg is quite close to the town.
Yeah, it actually changed our mindset in the town, where we started to believe that we could actually win. You know, the club championship never quite did. We got to two All-Ireland finals and were beaten in the two of them. But it just changes your mindset to think, well, you know, a couple of years after that, O'Hanrons here, local club as well, they went on and won their Leinster, Michael Dempsey at the helm. So it just gave the county a real self-belief that, yeah, why can't we? Why can't we do it? You know, I watched the Sean Boylan story the other night, which was fantastic as well. And I mean, Meath were in a bad place at the time, and look at the record. He 23 years, I think, 4 All-Ireland, 6 Leinsters and 4 league titles. And, you know, he probably just gave them that bit of self-belief that they needed, and that's what it gave us in the town here.
Yeah, Sean Boylan, what an absolute legend. And what I was thinking about that win you had over Kildare a couple of years ago, Willie, with Carlo in the championship and the giant killing. And for me, at a time, maybe in the 80s, okay, they'd won All-Irelands before that, but it was a bit of a surprise for them to break through against Dublin in 1986. We had the GPA coming out yesterday with this proposal around the championship being reduced to 23 weeks from February to July, and then having the club scene between July and December. Would you favour a restructure of the championship, or do you think the giant killing days are so important still for a county like Carlow?
I think it's really, really important that everybody gets to play in the championship. Being it, you know, if you're beaten, you go out of the championship and maybe go into a B championship, whatever, but you have to get your day out. You know, it's what every supporter and every player trains for, to get to that championship, you know, to, in around May. Carlo, as you say, turned over Kildare. It definitely wasn't expected. We didn't expect it. I don't think too many gave them a chance. And it was just incredible scenes after the match. I mean, during the match, it wasn't until Conor Lawler scored the final goal that we could actually, you know, we could actually celebrate, because we knew the game was over then. Kildare were never going to come back. At all stages, we were waiting for, it's going to be a goal, there's going to be a goal, Kildare are going to come back, and it didn't happen. So for those players, you know, to go through that and go through the emotions after it and during the game, I mean, you can't take that away from the weaker counties and decide, right, where there's going to be two tier, there's only going to be maybe 16 or whatever top teams in the championship. I think it would be, you know, devastation for the local football, because this is what these guys, you play the league and you hope you do well. You know, Division 1 hope to stay in Division 1, and 2 and 4 hope to, you know, can get into 3. But when it comes to the championship, you're looking at the draw and you're looking at, you know, maybe we have a chance. And that's been, you know, there for years and years. And when you get a day out like that, it's just so memorable. And, it's, you know, for us on the radio to cover it, it was incredible.
Was it the most memorable day, Willie?
I definitely think one of them. There was another day that stands out, and it had to be Carlo played Loud. You know, obviously Loud, I think they were after beating in the Leinster final the previous year. When I say beaten, I think Meade threw the ball over the line. Big Joe had it in his hands lying in the square. So they were very unlucky that day. So again, Loud probably would have been favourites. It looked like Loud were going to win on the day, but Brendan Murphy kicked the point, you know, nearly from 40, definitely 45, 50 yards out to actually win the game. And again, you know, the madness that happened after the game was just incredible as well. So those 2 days definitely stick out. Kildare, probably being that Kildare, I would rate them probably in top three in Leinster still. You know, we hadn't beat them since 1955. So it was an incredible day. I think probably was one of the best days on local radio, yeah.
And there must have been some mad days. If you're covering all these, like I was just speaking to the producer there a moment ago, you know, you must have some mad days as well. What's the maddest day you've had?
The maddest day, as in
like the maddest moment, mad things you've seen on the pitch. Like you're covering loads of club games. You're probably dealing with a lot of characters. Any kind of anything that stands out, which is just a bit off the wall.
Actually, that day against Loud, when Brendan Murphy kicked the winning point, I jumped off my stool, and I had my young fellow with me. I think he was about 4 at the time, and I knocked him onto the ground, never even seen him, just continued commentating. Went into a rant, I'd say, for about 2 or 3 minutes. The guy that was actually commentating, he just stepped back. Can't think of his name, though. I think it was from Watford. He just stepped back and let me on, and I just pure raw emotion, just kept going and going and going. And sure, it went viral. Obviously, it hit the network all over the country.
Let's see if we can. Do we have that Willie Quinlan audio there ready there, just to play that audio, just of that momentous day?
But it's gone to John Murphy. Look who's coming forward, Horst Lawler. He can wrap it up into Lamore. Horst goes for the shot. It's a yes! And a big yes! Goes to the side.
I just want to play a bit of Liam Spratt as well there, Willie, who's been doing it for 30 years. Let's see if Liam can match that.
It's not here, it's in the net! It's in the net! It's in the net! The ball is in the net! It's a goal for Wexford! It's in the net! 1-13-1-5! Superb finish! It might have been Conor McDonald! It might have been Conor McDonald that got in there!
Liam Spratt, how are you?
Hiya, John. How are you today?
Yeah, good, thanks. We're having a great chat with Willie Quinlan there from KCLR about local GAA. Obviously, a lot of uncertainty at the moment in the country with this COVID outbreak and how clubs are getting on. And then Willie telling us the story about how he got involved from being a Carlo player to a commentator. How is the lie of the land there in Wexford for you at the moment, Liam?
I suppose, first of all, Willie is mad anyway, John, so it helps.
Good mad, I would say.
And I'm a little bit mad as well, I suppose. The advantage of local guys like ourselves is that we're allowed to be as biased as be damned, so we get away with it. But we've had the senior hurling championship, John May, in the first quarter final last night. The county champions beaten by Glenbarrentown, which was a surprise. Jason Ryan is involved with Glenbarrentown, and he had a nice game plan. We've a lot of former inter-county managers involved in Wexford. John Myler was with Dan Barton, so we had a very standard of hurling has been fantastic, John, and the standard of the inter-county players has been fantastic because they're fresh, they haven't played with their counties, and it's the first time we've ever played a quarter-final matches in August, and you know, there's going to be a lot of lessons learned from this, I think, by county boards and by Croke Park in terms of fixtures and so forth.
And Oisín, up in Donegal, how's it going out up there for you?
Hey, John, how's things?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Sun's shining, so things are good, John.
Ah, sure, look.
Doesn't happen too often up here.
Are you getting club games off the ground, Oisín?
Yeah, we're up and running, John. We've got club games up two rounds now. We're into the second round, actually. We've one round completed. The second round started last night. So there's a change to the club structure in Donegal, and it's like the rest of the counties around the country have changed things to adapt to the 11-week period that they have. So they've gone away from the groups and they've decided to play round-robin games over four rounds and then go into knockouts. So we've started the second round, and the big game so far of the opening two rounds was on actually last night, where St Unions were playing Kilkiar, two sides that have won the Donegal Championship before. It turned out to be a share of the spoils, a draw, 1-9 apiece. Kilkiar were leading up by 7 points at the start of the second half and let St Unions back in it, and the last score of the game was a goal to tie it all up. So yes, it's good to have championship back. The championship excitement is there, but as we all know, we're all doing it in different surroundings, so we are with the limit of people there, which sort of takes away from the atmosphere a bit. But it's good to have football again, John. That's the main thing.
Are the players buying into it? Are they worried? Are the regulations good up there, Oisín? Is there a fear that this might be all called off? Or where are you at the moment with that?
Well, talking among the press last night, the Donegal press, that fear seems to have grown, particularly what we've seen, John, in the last couple of days, and the three counties, Kildare, Offaly and Laois, where the numbers have gone up. Sport has been halted. Daily life has been halted. So is this now a warning? Is this a sign of what's going to come? Some are suggesting and some are worrying that there may not be any inter-county football come the end of October when we're due to get underway with the championship here for Donegal, who are scheduled to play Tyrone. With two league games, of course, penciled in for that as well. Will that happen? If these numbers keep rising and this OR number increases, I don't think it's going to happen. But as for the club players, certainly they're buying into the championship. They're giving it everything that they have. They want club football. There was such a delay for so long, John, that really there was a huge eagerness there for everybody to get back, and the club players are definitely getting stuck into the championship.
Well, I want to get to the nitty-gritty of more of these brilliant moments that you guys have had covering your county, Oisín Kelly, Liam Spratt and Willie Quinlan, after the break, after the news. Stick with us on the Saturday panel here, and thanks so much for your time this afternoon here on News Talk Off the Ball. Text in here in 53106, Garden County Sports doing a brilliant job streaming club championship games in Wicklow. Nice job, Tubber and the team. That is from Gavin in Wicklow. And John Podiapammer from C103 Cork, another great commentator on local radio. Regards from Mike. 53106 on the Saturday panel, back after this.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
This is Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. John Duggan with you through till 5 o'clock. You can text us on 53106. Tweet us at Off the Ball. We're streaming live as well. You can watch us on the Off the Ball social channels for Periscope on Twitter, at Off the Ball, on YouTube, on Facebook. And we're also streaming on the new OTB Sports app. We're chatting to local radio legends in Gaelic games on the Saturday panel. Liam Sprash, who's been commentating on a Wexford GA for Southeast Radio for 30 years. Oisín Kelly, who calls it in Donegal for Highland Radio. And Willie Quinlan, who knows all things Carlo for KCLR, also played for the inter-county team. Lads, thanks so much for joining us. Liam, you've had many great days, I'd say, following Wexford. Maybe 96 was the best time of it as well.
Yeah, it was, John. And, you know, funny enough, people always ask me about 96. And the one great memory I have of 96 is I was lucky enough to be on the bus on the way down, reporting live back at base. And for me, that was the highlight, because the crowd started across the bridge when we left Stillorgan, and it just got bigger and bigger. There'd be a lot of passion in Wicklow for Wexford hurling, and it just got bigger and bigger. And I think it took us about 8 hours to get to Wexford Road. For me, that was the most ironically, that was the most memorable thing about it. But 96 was great. When you don't win an All-Ireland every year, you know, obviously when you do win one, I never thought it would happen. But I'd have to say another great memory, John, was I never thought Wexford footballers would get to an All-Ireland semi-final.
Yeah.
And I've already mentioned Jason Ryan tonight and or today. And I couldn't believe. And if we had have had a bit more belief in that All-Ireland semi-final against Tyrone, we got within 4 points of them. And Matty Ford went off at half-time injured. And Kieran Ling scored one of the goals of the season. So that was another highlight as well, I'd have to say, because I come from a background of a football club. Ballyhogue is the name of the club. And that, for me, was another highlight, John. And, of course, Wexford is so multi-tasked in sport. For example, this week we had Harry Tector, who's from Wexford, who played with his background. His grandfather, Bill, played rugby for Ireland. And then he played for the local J club here in Clovon under a pseudonym because of the ban. And we had a young fella from Wexford who signed for Harlequins as a scrum half, Jack Stafford, this week. So that'll give you an idea of the variety of sport that we have in this county.
Of course, Aidan O'Brien, Kevin Doyle as well there, Liam.
I'm still disappointed, by the way, John, that you left Aidan O'Brien out of your ambassador pick.
Well, it wasn't me. You left him out of Mount Rushmore. I don't know if you saw the Carlo and Donegal one, John. Lads, but I got enough stick for the Dublin one. And Liam as well, like we were speaking to Willie there before the break, do you feel liberated to almost have the yellow belly jersey on when you got the microphone on a match day?
Well, as I said earlier, John, you know, we can be biased, you know, which on, I suppose, on national radio, you know, you have to give probably a more even picture, but I suppose we can let ourselves go and be biased. Actually, we would take credit, I'd say, local radio for the first people to introduce a co-commentator, because when local radio started, I don't work full-time in local radio, but when it started, I realised that I needed an expert. I had never played inter-county. I played it to a decent level, but never played to a level enough. So we introduced co-commentators because I realised very quickly that you need some expert alongside you to do that. But we were instrumental in that. And that kind of, you know, you kind of can put the boys on the spot, so to speak, and be looking at you funny, you know. And I suppose that's one element that's different. You know, Nathan and your commentators, they have to be, they can't really be that biased unless Ireland are playing. So we have that privilege of maybe adding that little bit of bias to our commentary, which I suppose, and then we can lose the plot sometimes, which I suppose adds to the excitement.
I was asking Willie about the maddest moment there. The maddest moment for you, Liam, was?
Well, John, I'm well known for my bloopers down here. I suppose the referee threw in the whistle and all those kind of stuff. There's a Spratisms page down here, which I don't know much about, but I'm well known for the bloopers, John. And mad moments. I remember doing commentary. Wexford were playing Offaly in Burr, and I was on the up on the roof, and I started singing that song, Up on the Roof. And I remember in Wicklow two years ago, we were actually playing Wicklow on football. And the only place we could get a signal was on the roof in Ockram. And there's a picture of myself and Seamus Fitzhenry, who was a great footballer with Wexford, Damien's brother, and two brollies over us. And we were nearly like Mary Poppins. We were trying to keep the brollies from blowing away. So they're mad moments. I mean, luckily it's radio and people don't see those kind of things happening.
And Oisín, you know, you're editing up there in Highland as well, and you've got to put it together, GA broadcast. So for example, like you'd have a person beside you, like, say, for example, Martin McHugh, who might have his sons playing, and you might have to keep him in check and that kind of thing as well.
Well, that's can be difficult at times. Martin can be a bit emotional when it comes to having family in the field, which he can totally understand. And you're on about memories. If we go back to the 2014.
Yeah.
Semi-final against Dublin, John. The last time that the Dubs were beaten the championship game, Martin was on co-commentary. And you're on about memories. That's the day that we sort of lost the run of ourselves, because we went into a game that nobody was giving us a hope of winning. Paul Durkin pulled off a save in the first half, which kept us in the match. And then Jim McGuinness then decided to turn the screw. So he did on the game. And young Ryan played a big part that day. He scored two goals and 2 points. So myself and Martin, it was the biggest game that we had probably, because I wasn't commentating in 2012, so that was probably the biggest game in my commentary career to and probably to date as well, my fondest memory. So yeah, Martin sort of got really into the game, and obviously with Ryan playing, and he had Mark previously as well in teams as well. Obviously, not that you keep him in check, but at times you can hear him when maybe the boys might have made a mistake that he might have let Ryan or Mark go or things like that. But listen, Martin is a top match analyst, so he is, and he knows his football. He's an astute man when it comes to football. And he's the, as Liam said there, you need guys of expertise of that level beside you that know what they're talking about to bring, I suppose, the local commentator's performance to the people of Donegal. And yes, you do be biased, so you do, but I think that's what makes local radio special, so it is, John.
Would you, as a kind of a co-commentator there, Willie down in Carlow, kind of have to, you know, people are probably coming up to you or, oh, what do you say about that person or this person? You probably have to deal with negativity at times as well as positivity.
Yeah, actually, funny story. Last year, Aerog played Sarsfields in the club championship and my own fella came on as a sub and sideline ball, and we're deciding, will he kick it, won't he kick it, will he play a chart? And I said, oh, no, he should kick it over. This was out on the sideline, probably 21 yards from the end line. So anyway, he kicks the ball and it's straight over the bar. So you're getting a bit excited when you're on, you're watching your own kicking it, you know, as well as your club. And next, the fullback came and struck him an elbow, and I just totally forgot myself and said, for fuck's sake.
Excuse the language.
On
there.
The radio. Yeah, excuse the language. Sorry, lads. But in the meantime, my phone buzzed. Somebody had texted me, do you realise what you're after saying? And I just said to Breno, sorry about that, lads. So the referee anyway came to deal with it, and he sent off the fullback a straight red and a black card for my own lad, Niall. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, what in the name of God is he after doing? Seemingly now, looking down at it, the referee couldn't see or hear him saying anything, but seemingly what happened, he said something back to the fullback. Fullback came and gave him a dunt. And of course, I got so excited and carried away. And him, after being floored, a little curse came out. But I was reminded straight away on the phone, do you realise what you're after saying? So you can get carried away. And Liam is right. We are very biased. You're very biased with your club, with your county. But you do have to kind of put tabs on it. I have two lads now that are playing. One is a minor and Niall is obviously a senior. And I've done a couple of matches with both of them. And you do find yourself, you know, when they do make a mistake, you're nearly saying, oh, what are you doing? And you're nearly forgetting that you have the headphones on. So you do have to keep yourself intact at all stages. If you don't, you can just forget where you are and forget what you're saying.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's definitely identifiable, Willie. What happened in Donegal in 12 and 14, it must have changed everything how you kind of covered GAA, because this was 20 years after 1992, Oisin. It had been a long time. You weren't expected possibly to make the breakthrough. It must have done a huge amount for the local community.
It was a serious injection to Gaelic football and the county, John. If you go back a year before Jim McGuinness came on board, Donegal football was at a bit of a low point. You were gone from the first round of the qualifiers. And we had this group of players, and there was a transition coming. Jim McGuinness, at the third time of trying, eventually got the Donegal job. As we all know the story of how Jim McGuinness came aboard in Donegal and what he achieved in such a short period of time, because it was a four-year plan. He ended up winning an All-Ireland in 2 years. But the injection into football, as I said, was phenomenal after that. It really lifted the sport, and it lifted the interest in the sport as well. You've seen it grow. You've seen the numbers at underage are participating as well. And when you bring the Sam Maguire and an All-Ireland winning team back to the county, and you go to the 39 clubs that are in Donegal, they didn't miss one. And you see these youngsters are seeing these guys as their heroes. They all decided to join the clubs and get back playing football. And we've seen what came after that, because Donegal got on a bit of a run then. We started to win Ulster minor titles, so we did. We've seen it in 2014 where Donegal actually had two teams, first time ever in an All-Ireland final, the minors and the seniors, both beaten by Big Kerry. And then that followed on again where there was Donegal teams winning under-21 championship. So there was a knock-on effect with the younger groups coming through. So there wasn't... as we know at this stage now, Donegal are consistently seen as one of the top sides of the country when it comes to championship. And now they haven't got to the same level as what they did in 14. And when you mentioned maybe 14, John, that was the one that got away.
Yeah,
that's how we feel up here about it. The day we beat Dublin, we were given the hot ticket of being All-Ireland winners for 2014. Did that play a role? I don't know. Everybody's seen Donegal, and you beat the invincible Dubs. Now you're going to take on Kerry. There were certain corners were warning us, going, don't rule Kerry out yet. Kerry people might like me saying this, but that was probably not one of the worst Kerry teams, but one of the Kerry teams that wouldn't be seen as the glamour teams of the past that actually won in All-Ireland. Maybe if Colin McFadden's effort didn't come off the post and ended up at the back of the net and there was a replay, we could have ended up beating Kerry the next day by 12 or 13 points, but that's just that's what some have suggested. It may have happened, it may not have happened, but that would be the one that got away. But that golden period of Jim McGuinness, without doubt, there was a knock-on effect in the county, and young people started taking up Gaelic football again. People started taking Gaelic football serious. Young players started taking Gaelic football serious. Because the modern day, John, when you get as far as 15, 16, 17 years of age, you now have a choice to make in whatever sport you're going to play. There are certain athletes in this county that are good that in any sport that they touch, be it athletics, be it soccer, be it Gaelic games, be it rugby. But these guys, when they get to that age, 15, 16, 17, have to make a choice of what way they're going to go. And off the back of what happened, a lot of them went the Gaelic games route again and stuck with Gaelic football. And yes, we have seen underage teams succeeding. Declan Bonner's the man in charge now. There's been a lot of the guys that he is in there that he's taken up from 16 into minor and into under 21. And obviously their ultimate goal now is to try and repeat what Jim McGuinness did for Declan and his players to get an All-Ireland. But will there be an All-Ireland this year? We don't even know if there's going to be an inter-county ball kick, John. So we'll have to wait and see.
It was interesting the fact that Willie, that O'Sheen was speaking about how like Donegal GA has changed with the success. Like I'm even thinking, like, if Carlo played in a Division 4 or Division 3 league or even for the Tailteann Cup in the summer and you maybe had the provinces earlier in the year, do you think it would change the impact of Carlo GA on the people in the county in a way that is higher than it is now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously we watch other counties, and you're looking at Donegal back that time, and it had to be a huge influence on, as he said, winning minors and under 21s. And you know, if any club or any county gets the success that the likes of Donegal or the likes of Donegal, you know, Dublin are getting at the moment, it has to be a knock-on effect, John. It has to be, you know, the kids look at it, and he's right. When you get to 15, 16, 17 now, there's so much involved in if you go with an inter-county team, because you have your gym maybe two or three days a week, you're on the field two or three days. It's nearly gone a professional stage at the level. So you have to make your choice at 16 or 17. And if a club or a county is going really, really well, we're definitely going to decide, I'll stick with GAA, or if soccer's going well, I'll stick with soccer. So it's a massive effect. If Carlo, you know, could get out of Division 4 again into 3, and do well in the championship, I think it definitely has a big effect for the kids looking at that for the future.
Liam, I feel like I'm up on the roof today. The club game returning in Wexford, has it been worth it so far?
It's been the best hurling championship I've seen for a long time, John, because it was in four groups of three. So effectively, it's a knockout championship, and it's been brilliant. And as I said, I think first when I spoke to you today, that the intercounty players are absolutely flying. Heretofore,
even though they can't train, this is now with their clubs, Liam. Yeah,
yeah, with their clubs, John. Yeah, when heretofore they would have played with the county. Our hurlers, as you know, got to the All Ireland semi final last year. But players look tired when they come back to their club. Then the fact that they're fresh and they've been with the club, training and playing for the last 4 or 5 weeks, you can see the difference in their performance on the field. We've had it is in Wexford. Normally, we would have senior hurling 1 week, because we have a unique situation where most of our senior hurling clubs play senior football as well, and a lot of the senior hurlers are very good footballers and vice versa. So we have a situation where they would play hurling 1 week, football the next week. And I think that's to the detriment of the quality of both games, because you're playing hurling 1 week, dropping the hurdles, picking up a football, and then dropping the football, picking up a hurl. So the fact that we're playing hurling right out to the end of the championship and then we're going to start football, I think has been a benefit to both games. And I think we've had a fantastic hurling championship, John. It's been the best I can remember week after week. We've four quarterfinals this weekend. We had the county champions beaten last week. We've won game this evening. And we've two quarterfinals tomorrow. And it's really, really exciting. The only downside is, as Willie and Oisin have alluded to, that we've only 200 max people. And that's the only disappointment. And, you know, it's been fantastic. And I think that the GA will learn from this. I think county boards will see the benefit of playing the club championship and the quality of the games that we've had. But I think down the road, John, this might be a dramatic change for GAA generally.
Yeah, we asked Willie this before the break. The GPA's proposal about a 23-week season from February till July and then having the club season in the rest of the year. Would that be something then that might actually work based on what you're seeing, Liam?
I think they're going to have to look at the whole thing, John. I think the lads are saying that we mightn't have inter-county games. I think we mightn't have inter-county games, maybe not because of COVID, largely because of COVID, but because of the financial implications. If Wexford, who Davy Fitzgerald and the Paul Galvin now in charge of the football, if the county teams go back training, it's going to cost the same amount of money for your managers, for your players, travelling expenses. How do they go to games? Do they go separately in cars or do they go on buses? And I think it's come down to the whole financial end of it as well, that it's going to be, you know, that it's going to be too expensive to actually run the championship unless TV stations pony up with the money. And I can't see that happening. So I think down the road, you know, a lot of things have changed in life because of COVID. A lot of people have, you know, even there's a problem with people involved with teams being at home for a couple of months saying, do I need this pressure being involved with a team? So there's a whole mindset. And I think if the GAA sit down, they're going to have to learn from this, John. And I think a lot of sports will learn from it. And it might be to the betterment of players' welfare, I think, in the long run.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also say that maybe just this year, just to get it actually something done, the way you're speaking there, Liam, about actually having a brilliant championship at Wexford, maybe we just need to just take the financial hit, the GAA, who do have assets, to say, you know what, we'll just get a championship of some description just for people's almost mental well-being to get it done. But I do think, like, longer term, we need to completely reimagine how we do this. Oisin, are you seeing the same kind of vibe that the club players are fresher in Donegal and that actually, you know what, we need to rethink about the restructure here?
Well, if you look at this year, the way things were set up, the club championship's up and running. We've actually got an extra game this year in the club championship, John. They're playing four rounds and then in the knockout. So if you're going to get to the final, so maybe it's like last year we had Niamh Connell and Gidore, who have an abundance of county players involved in both squads, and they go the whole way to the final. You're in very, very good shape physically, match sharpness as you head back to your inter-county training and back into inter-county come September time. So, and one way you couldn't ask for better preparation, given the matches are coming thick and fast. They're well tuned at that stage, and then you're going into inter-county level matches. Maybe the fact that you haven't played a game at inter-county level, at that level, might maybe not so much be to the detriment of the result of the match for the team, but it might take a couple of games to get up to speed, command the championship. So there's sort of pros and cons, there's yeses and nos to it, but from a player point of view, I think that those that are involved with the county setup, and particularly those involved in the top four sides in the county, will be in very, very good condition come championship and those league games if they go ahead in October. But there's a lot of other variables when you're talking about fixtures, as Liam mentioned and yourself there, John, that condense, and the GPA can say they want to condense this down to 23 weeks. That's okay. But if you start to add in the likes of the minors and add in the under-21s, so you're going to have players that's involved, or the under-20s, excuse me, that's involved with under 20 county panels. They're involved with senior panels as well. They're also possibly involved with Sigerson's. There was, of course, action earlier in the year that was affected due to that. Then you add in the provincial club situation after the county championships are played. Ulster's a wee bit different, John. They want to have their championships played the way they have. They hold, like, the Ulster Championship and the Ulster Club Championship trophies and the winners. They see that as very, very, very important. And from an Ulster point of view, I can't see them changing their competitions to suit possibly the rest of the country if they're going to rejig a championship from 2021 on. some quarters say that maybe put the senior championship into a couple of tiers and have different groups and have it as 16 teams. And there's a lot of sort of questions to be asked going forward. But I know from an Ulster point of view that they hold their championship so importantly that I don't think they're going to give up an Ulster championship maybe to suit the rest of the country.
OK, you've got about 2 minutes between the three of you guys. Obviously, you've got a public health issue here. That's the most important thing. We need to get through it, and hopefully everybody can. But the day you return to, say, Croke Park or an inter-county championship match, what is the day you're looking the most forward to briefly about returning behind the commentary box for a massive game there? Willie, you want to start with you?
Yeah, I suppose definitely you'd be hoping, first of all, that there was going to be a bit more of a crowd. But obviously, with health and safety, the crowds are going to stay low. It's that atmosphere that, you know, meeting people on the way in, it's the buzz of the game. Prior to playing, I suppose, playing the game, when you are playing and you're involved in it, there's a huge buzz around it. But this is the next best thing to it, is a local radio. You're looking for, you know, your county to stand up in the championship. And we're looking for another day out, like we got against Kildare, which was a couple of years ago. It was fantastic. And It's just to get that intercounty on the road again, and you know, hopefully we will see it, but not too sure if we will, John.
Okay, Willie. Liam, for you, what are you looking forward to most? Wexford win that All-Ireland?
Wexford went very close last year, John, as we know, and there's a feeling that they might have gone even a little bit closer this year if we are to have our Ring Championship. We're excited about Paul Galvin with the footballers. He's upset a few people in the early stages, but he's brought in a young team to play. He knows the way he wants to play football, and that's what I'd be really looking forward to. We've had the advantage of commentating. We're commentating in all the senior hurling games played in Chadwick's Wexford Park, so we've had the advantage of already being back on air. And of course, as you know, John, when you're local, you'll meet the fella, you know, be saying, "Jesus, Brad, what was that you were on about there yesterday? What are you saying about this?" So that's the other downside to being a local commentator on local radio, that, you know, people know you and they can have a go at you. You're an easy target sometimes. But look, that's what you put yourself up for. It's just, I'm always conscious, John, that there's a lot of people sick at home. There's a lot of people unwell.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people love to be at the game, can't be at the game, and you're really painting a picture for them. And they're the people that I think of a lot when we're actually standing in front of a mic. And it's like playing. Some days you'll have what you consider a good day, and some days you'll say to yourself when you're finished, "Geez, that was a bad one. What were you thinking of today?"
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a bit like playing, John.
Absolutely, Liam. And for you, Oisín, what are you looking forward to the most?
Fingers crossed we get the go-ahead for Donegal Tyrone on the 31st of October, because Donegal are going for 3 in a row Ulster titles, which they haven't done before under the guidance of Declan Boner and been led by their captain Michael Murphy. And matches don't get any bigger, John, than when you meet your nearest rivals and your neighbours, Donegal against Tyrone. It's going to be a fascinating fixture, so it is, and it's certainly going to be the first defining moment of the Ulster Championship. And from a Highland point of view, I concur with John says that we provide a service, or what Liam said rather, we provide a service to the local people, and you do have the football fanatics, but you also have to remember, a man told me once, you have to remember the old lady sitting at the range, and you have to paint that picture and tell the story for her, and you have to make her become a Donegal football fanatic as well. And that's what local radio was all about. And when you're telling people the story of Donegal and Tyrone meeting in McCool Park on the 31st of October in the championship quarter final, they don't get any bigger stages than that, John.
Well, Oisín Kelly, Willie Quinn and Liam Spratt, thanks so much for being great sports today to share your stories and being with us on Saturday the panel. Take care.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.